We'll move on to the fourth case of the morning. Mamadou Diallo versus John Ashcroft. Mr. Conte?
Yes, may it please the court. My name is Suare Conte. I practice in Indianapolis and I represent the petitioner in this case. Your Honor, this case comes before the court from the Board of Immigration Appeals, in which the board affirmed the decision of the immigration judge sitting in Chicago. Analysis by the Board of Immigration Appeals. Therefore, the analysis of the immigration judge will have to be looked at in this case. Your Honor, we believe that the evidence and the law support our position that Mr. Diallo is entitled to asylum in this country. The case then focuses on whether or not Mr. Diallo suffered past persecution. The IJ's analysis in this case support our position. We agree with the law cited by the IJ as well as the Board of Immigration Appeals. However, we disagree with the application of the law to the facts in this case, particularly the characterization of Diallo's treatment in the hands of Mauritanian authorities by the IJ. The IJ simply said the treatment that Mr. Diallo received was unfair. And the IJ, as well as the government, cited many cases that came from this court, which in fact are substantially, factually different from the case, from Mr. Diallo's case. The case, for example, of Barker versus the INS and a series of other cases. In this case, Mr. Diallo was a member of the FLAM. He was the Mauritanian authorities came to his house at night. He was arrested and detained for 6 months. He was in jail, and while he was in jail, he suffered torture. He also underwent hard labor. And after 6 months in jail, he was released and shipped to Senegal. Those particular factual findings cannot be said to be merely unfair. If when they ship one from his own country, deported from his own country, it is the type of persecution that this court has described in many other cases. This court, although there is no statutory definition of persecution in the immigration laws, this court has held that persecution is harm or the infliction of harm on someone on account of their political opinions or any other opinion that this country does not consider as legitimate. In this case, Mr. Diallo's race, as well as his ethnicity and political opinion, were the factors that led the Mauritanian government to arrest and detain him and keep him in jail for 6 months and then deport him from his country.
No, what was the date of that imprisonment and release?
It happened in 1993, Your Honor. Okay. And the IJ says, well, because the IJ's analysis of future persecution also in this case is flawed in that he only relied on the report, the 1999 country report from Mauritania. The IG, as well as the government, only selected portions of that report to support their case that Mr. Diallo did not have any genuinely subjective fear of returning back to Mauritania.
Mr. Conte, was Mr. Diallo permitted to submit any information to the IJ that would have contradicted the 1999 State Department's report?
No, Your Honor, but that report itself contradicts. It was only selected portions of that report that were picked up by the IJ as well as the government. In that same report, it said the country conditions, the political oppression, and the other factors that constitute fear were still present. So, and also in that same report, the report says that of the 70,000 black Mauritanians that were deported between 1989 and 1991, only about 18,500 returned. Now, the circumstances of their return were never discussed by the IJ, as well as There was no account of the balance over 50,000 people that did not return to Mauritania. That was never discussed. So the IJ's conclusion, as well as the government's conclusions, based solely on that on that 1999 country report, and that report has factors that can support Mr. Diallo's position that he has a subjective fear of returning to Mauritania. And then one of the factors, again, that the IJ, as well as the government, said doomed Mr. Diallo's asylum application is the concept of firm resettlement. Now, the IJ selected a case that actually contradicts the IJ, the Soleimani case that was decided in 1989. In fact, just indicated that the concept of firm resettlement is only a factor to be considered in determining whether or not to grant asylum application. But and that's the only case that the IJ relied on. Subsequently, after 1996, the concept of firm resettlement became a mandatory requirement for asylum application. If you're firmly resettled, then you cannot be granted asylum. Now, what the government did was they looked at the asylum, the statute itself, the regulation itself, and only selected a portion of that regulation. The primary factor in that regulation is that there must have been an offer of permanent status or some form of citizenship or some form of permanent resettlement. That's the primary factor, is there must have been an offer. In this case, during the hearing, there was no discussion as to whether or not an offer was made to Mr. Diallo. And in fact, there's a Third Circuit case that is very instructive in terms of permanent resettlement. And that case, the Abdulli case, was decided in 2002. If I would cite that case for the court. That case is Abdulli v. Ashcroft, 242 Federal 3rd, 477. That court indicated, the Third Circuit indicated that, number one, the primary factor is the offer, and if the government proposes that the person has firmly resettled, they have to come up with evidence showing that indeed they received some kind of offer. In many cases that have been cited by the government, in fact, the circumstances were different. Some of those cases, the petitioner was offered permanent resettlement, they were offered all kinds of possibilities by the government of the host country.
What year is the Abdulla case?
It's 2001, Your Honor. And then, apart from those, we believe that Mr. Diallo did not firmly resettle in Senegal. He was only there, and he never received an offer of permanent residency from the government. And besides those three issues, we also believe that Mr. Diallo's constitutional rights were violated by the immigration court during the whole process of his asylum application. The first instance is he was not given the opportunity to present his case before the asylum officer. Now, the government had said that this court does not have jurisdiction and decided the statute from the immigration regulation. However, they left out a portion of that statute that says, although the Attorney General's decision is conclusive, it's subject to review if it's contrary to the law as well as if it's abuse of discretion. In this case, Mr. Diallo came to Chicago from Indianapolis for his interview. He was never interviewed. He did hire an interpreter to come to the interview. The interpreter did not show up. But there's no evidence on the record suggesting that the INS did try to find out why he did not show up for the interview. In fact, he did seek a postponement of the hearing, of the interview. It was never indicated in the record. So Mr. Diallo had to return back to Indianapolis, and his case was just sent to the immigration court as no show. Obviously, if Mr. Diallo was in front of the asylum officer, I think he would have been in a better position to explain why he thought he should be entitled to asylum instead of bringing his case in a courtroom setting where you have legal minds and quibblings that we indicated in our brief, particularly the actions of the IJ in terms of allowing Mr. Diallo to do his presentation. I think my time is up.
Yeah, you've got about a minute left. You want to keep that for rebuttal, that's fine.
Yes, Your Honor.
Ms. Taylor?
Good morning, Your Honor. My name is Margaret K. Taylor. I represent the government in this matter. This case is about an alien who was already firmly resettled in another country, and now he seeks to use this country's asylum laws to firmly resettle in the United States.
If Mr. Diallo remained in Senegal only so long as it took him to earn enough money for passage to the United States, would he have been firmly resettled there?
That's not exactly what happened, Your Honor. But if he had stayed in Senegal only in flight to another country, possibly the United States, he would not have been firmly resettled. But the record reflects that Mr. Diallo lived in Senegal for 4 years, that he worked there, that he rented an apartment there, that he worshipped there, and he testified that he had no problems whatsoever in Senegal and just decided to come to the United States. So the duration and the circumstances of his stay in Senegal indicate that he was firmly resettled there.
Do you agree that he needs to have been offered the opportunity for citizenship, et cetera, et cetera?
No, I do not agree, Your Honor. The statute is at, the section is at INA 28B2, and it says, let me just do it precisely. Well, actually, the statute says that there is a mandatory asylum bar if you're firmly resettled. And then the regs at 8 CFR 208.15 define firm resettlement. And it says an alien is considered to be firmly resettled if, prior to arrival in the United States, he or she entered into another country with, and then I'll jump to the end, or some other type of permanent resettlement, unless he or she establishes, and then there are some exceptions. So Mr. Diallo would fit under the some other type of permanent resettlement.
Other than official approval?
That's correct, Your Honor. And the Ninth Circuit actually has addressed just such a case, which is cited in the brief. It's Cheo v. INS. It's found at 162 F3rd 1227. And in that case, the alien had been offered no official status, had resettled in Malaysia from Vietnam and had lived there for 3 years peacefully, and the Ninth Circuit held in that case that the inference was firm resettlement and it was the alien's burden to show otherwise, and the alien didn't do so.
Ms. Taylor, I have to tell you, there's something in there's something in your brief that concerns me. Because you stated that the immigration judge reasonably could conclude that 6 months of imprisonment constitutes mere harassment and not persecution, yet neither you or anyone else here has cited any cases with even remotely similar facts, because the cases that you cited dealt with repeated short interrogations and searches. One was a 3-day detention. One was a case where the petitioner's colleagues were arrested and detained, but the petitioner never was. The immigration judge failed to cite any cases involving lengthy detentions. I mean, are there, to your knowledge, cases with similar facts? In other words, where a petitioner is detained, forced to undergo hard labor, tortured by being, slashed on the arms for months on end. Is this what we've come to here?
Well, Your Honor, first of all, the court doesn't need to reach this question because there is a statutory asylum bar in place. If the court were to reach the question of past persecution, there would be yet another hurdle the court would need to overcome before it addressed the IJ's finding of no past, that this did not rise to the level of persecution, because there is no well-founded fear of future persecution because of changed country conditions. So whatever rebuttable assumption would attach to a finding of past persecution has been rebutted by the record. Now, if the court got past the statutory bar and past the rebutted presumption of no well-founded fear of future persecution, it is within the Attorney General's discretion on a case-by-case basis to determine what constitutes past persecution and what does not.
Have you had an opportunity, you might not have, to see our court's opinion in Neum versus Ashcroft?
I have actually read it. I wouldn't say I'm an expert, but I have some familiarity with it.
Because I think, you know, you'll get the drift of how the court feels about
the country report, Your
Honor? About the State Department report.
Well, Your Honor, if I may, I'd like to distinguish Neum from what happened in this case. Because in Neum, there were just generic statements made about how the country report applied to that alien, as I recall the decision. However, in this case, the country reports, and I'd like to actually recharacterize those, if I may, from the way the petitioner's counsel did. The country reports and the reliance on them go to the heart of this alien's claim. The 1997 profile states, and this is in the record at, if I can read my handwriting, I think it's, well, I'm not positive, so I better not say. But the 1997 profile states that 35,000 of the 70,000 expellees, in other words, the Mauritanians who were expelled to Senegal, had returned. And by 1999, in the Human Rights Report, and this record citation I can read is at 193, 65,000 of the 70,000 had returned. So Mr. Diallo says that he is part of this group of expellees.
Did they generally go to Senegal?
Excuse me?
Did they generally go to Senegal?
Yes, they crossed the river from Mauritania to Senegal.
Is the language the same?
Boy, Your Honor, I don't know that.
I'm just curious because he had a translation problem, and I don't know how. I'm talking about the you assimilate into another place if you can speak the same language, or else there's an enclave of a lot of people who speak the same language.
Well, Your Honor, Mr. Diallo testified at the immigration judge hearing that he had absolutely no problems in Senegal because he was able to take with him. He testified he was able to take with him his national identification card from Mauritania, and with that card he was able to have free access to whatever opportunities there were available in Senegal.
When did he leave Senegal? Come over here.
He left Senegal in 1997. He lived in Senegal from June 29, 1993 to June 3, 1997. And that is at 158 in the record.
Well, these country reports, I know that there's some suspicion of them that there's their allies and people that we don't want to offend. I don't know much about this one. Has this been criticized that way?
Well, Your Honor, if I could just step back a bit after reading the Neum decision, the problem with adjudicating asylum applications is that there is very little evidence available oftentimes because the applicants are far away from the events and the places where they occurred. So the immigration judge is faced with the problem of deciding whether the application is legitimate or not.
But here, of course, the IJ never made a credibility determination, did he?
Credibility was not an issue in this case.
Right. In other words, he never made a credibility determination.
Correct, Your Honor. But the country report at least give a context for what was going on, and as imperfect as they may be, that's what the immigration judge has available. My time is up. Thank you very much for your time, and the government requests that you affirm the immigration judge's decision. Thank you.
Okay. I think you've got about a minute left, Mr. Conte.
Your Honor, the fact is that the facts that have been established show that indeed he suffered past persecution. We were not able to bring cases that have similar fact pattern. Now, what the law says is once if you believe his testimony, then there was a past persecution. And that once he's established that, then you have a rebuttable presumption that he had future persecution, that he will suffer future persecution. And the only information that the IJ had to rebut that presumption is the country report. I have not read the case that Your Honor referred to, but the country report that we have been reading, all they are almost like boilerplate, they have boilerplate language all the time. So you cannot use that to rebut that presumption that there is future persecution. Now, the government just cited portions of the CFR that talks about firm resettlement. The initial aspect of that regulation says it defines firm resettlement as an alien is considered to be firmly resettled if prior to arriving in the United States, he or she enter into another country with or while in that country received an offer of permanent resident status, citizenship, or some other type of permanent resettlement, unless, and then you have these non-offer factors listed at the second and third, the second and third exception. So what the IJ did, as well as government, is just jump to these two exceptions and never address whether or not Mr. Diallo received an offer of permanent residency in Senegal. Now, obviously, the way he came to
just wrap it up.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks very much. And the case will be taken under advisement.